Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Walker AC Experience for the great month of March, March Madness. I said that joke already last show, so I'm not going to repeat it. Welcome to the show, and of course, you can always find us under our new website, walkeracexperience.com or walkeracexperience.com/WAC. No, that's Cafe Press. Damn it, see, I'm a little bit flustered today, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. So let me try that again. walkeracexperience.com/mobile. The mobile app, you can listen to the recent episodes of The Out of Context, the Walker AC Experience, and soon we're going to expand that to where you can listen to all of our shows going back to 2018. Of course, give us a subscribe, give us a fund, typing something, you know, follow along with us. I'll get it right here eventually. Also, cafepress.com/WACE gets some merchandise, gets some mugs, some blankets, some stationaries, everything in between, some great gifts as, you know, birthdays, anniversaries comes up. What says loving more than the Walker AC Experience on your ass? Go figure. And speaking of ass, we are going to introduce my co-host. He's not an ass, folks, but he can kick some. See, and that's not racist because it's true. My co-host, my good buddy, Kevin Yu. Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Hello. I like to think of this as the Brazilian butt lift of podcasts. It'll make you feel good.
But with the Brazilian butt lifts, Kevin, there are some major setbacks, right? There's some deaths, and there's been some unsavory odors coming from Brazilian butt lifts. Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't. Please elucidate me.
Oh, yes. So, and I've done some studies on this, not looking at porn. No, Brazilian butt lifts shows that a good portion of them has an unsavory smell during the healing process. Because all the, you know, the fluids and everything from one fatty area to another fatty area, the human body isn't really equipped to carry all the extra weight back there. So when it comes to excretion, there may be some foul and mysterious odors emanating from that particular area for quite a while there. Now, granted, I've been fortunate enough not to smell anything like that, more or less encounter a lady with a BBL, because to me that's effing gross. But yes, that's what it goes on nowadays. And your thoughts about that?
Well, first off, well, that's not the most naturally nice smelling area in the world. So, I mean, it's, you know, as a lactose intolerant person, if I just, you know, don't have a lactate when I have some ice cream, well, you know, I can imagine the odors that can come out. Well, sometimes it's hard for me to parse it out because it does seem like that's the style. And like, once I had commented, like, well, you know, I'm okay with whatever makes a woman feel good. But then another woman countered, like, is that truly her own thought process? And I'm like, huh, maybe not. So, you know, if you're told to look a certain way. And so it's, yeah. But I appreciate a good pair of buttocks, because that's something that you can work on. And it's not an easy feat, or, yeah, it takes a lot of work and a lot of genetics and all this and that. But it's also an important part to work, because it's very important for your posture and use your legs and this and that. So work your buttons, everybody.
Yes, do squats. Do squats. Keep it natural. Speaking of natural, I'm a natural kind of guy. You know, granted, yes. As do something makes you happy, as long as not hurting anybody else or anything of the sort. I'm a natural guy. The Brazilian butt lift thing doesn't look natural. And if you really think about it, you look at the outer appearance of a person who goes through all that trouble just to have those enhancements, whether it be, you know, breast implants or lip injections or BBL. I look at that and my own personal, and I'll ask yours here in a second, but I would rather have someone natural walking in to meet my family versus a human Barbie doll walking in to meet my family, or going to my son's graduation or his school play. That to me sends off the wrong message. And I really can't take something like that seriously, because I would see something like that as a play date, giggity, versus somebody you want to give your last name to.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also determines, like, why is kind of important too, because there are people that have mastectomies and they want to, you know, look like they used to or whatever. So I think that's a pretty interesting thing to do, you know, like, you know, I did have a friend that she had to have a mastectomy, and I'm not sure if she ever had, you know, implants to just make her look like she used to. Yeah, I wonder about that. And it is interesting. I mean, I don't really care, you know, I'm just concerned with the health, because sometimes women need reductions as well because they get too big, or sometimes just people look that way and they get accused, like, yeah, it's surgery, why do you look that way, when it wasn't that way at all, it's just the genetics of it all. So I don't know, I just don't think of it as much that big of a deal. It's like, if that's just the way you look, then okay. You know, I was like, of course I have my own personal preferences, but just beyond myself, I really shouldn't care. You know, I'm not entitled to, you know, want everybody to look a certain way. You know, I mean, that's just kind of how I try to think about it.
Of course, not going to agree with you on that one, but it all goes back to perception as reality. Obviously, in your friend's situation, of course, the minority thing that I'm speaking about is, yes, you know, you would have implants, something like that, you know, to make you feel like a woman again after such a traumatic thing that they go through. But I'm speaking about more of the bigger picture, to where someone isn't happy with their outer appearance and they get the Brazilian butt lift and it looks very cartoonish, you know, to where, you know, yes, they have the confidence, but at what cost health-wise? Because you think about such an enhancement like that, and yes, guys, send your hate mail. Yes, you see certain enhancements like that, and then you fast forward to 50, to 60, to 70. And yes, you want to go to grandma's house? No, her butt will eat me. No, it's just, it's not a healthy thing. It's more of a vanity project. You know, that's my only bone of contention. Obviously, I don't mind what you do with your body because it doesn't affect me in any way, shape, or form. But I'm thinking more or less of the health aspect that comes along with such things like a BBL. Because if you read articles out there, it is such a detriment to your body. And a good percentage of time, your body can't handle that particular change, whether it be the excretions, whether it be the surgery, whether it be the recovery, things like that. And once again, it's not to knock people who choose to do something like that. It's just that the what and the why, to me, just kind of makes you scratch my head a little bit. But you're not going to see me having that anytime soon. Mine's big enough. I don't need it enhanced. And I look like a cartoon character enough already. So.
Yeah, it's... For health reasons, yeah, maybe people should be thinking very careful about it. I mean, it does also raise a question, like, do people have the right to hurt themselves? I mean, to undergo these things, like extreme surgeries, to alter their appearance. It's interesting, and I think, like, it's not recommended, but, you know, it's a tough call, because, like, because we all kind of say, like, yeah, like, it's rare that I find something that's that demanding of society to look a certain way, but at the same time, we're all going to judge them, and yet we don't want to be judged as well. It's a weird exercise in, like, thinking, when we say, yeah, it's not a big deal, but then we judge people's, like, snap judgment. It's odd. It's like the hypocritical nature of human beings.
Of course. I mean, you have one end of the spectrum of, I do this so men will like me. And then the other end of the spectrum is, actually, I'm doing it for me because I want the attention. You could ask the common man, what do you think of a Brazilian butt lift? And most of them will say, I really don't care. That's not really my thing. You know, just like breast implants. Yes, they're nice to look at, but they're not really a requirement. Lip injections, yes, they're nice to look at, but they're not really a requirement. It's not really for me, but it's more for them with the attention. Just like, you know, just like men working out. And I'm painting with a, you know, with a broad brush, but other than health reasons, you're doing it for the attention. It's like a peacock, you know, showing its feathers. It's all for attention. It's not for to make me feel better. It's just for attention. And it's a weird social experiment to see body enhancements that go around, whether it be BBLs or whether it be guys getting calf implants or ab implants. You're not doing it for you. You're doing it for the opposite sex. But then again, like I said, what happens later on down the road when the attention isn't necessary anymore? What do you do with those ab implants or the BBLs or the breast implants or the calf implants? How's that going to affect your body later on in life?
Two things can be true at the same time as well. It can be both for gaining like attention and for yourself at the same time. And that, you know, down the road you can get them removed. And sometimes that's just, you know, you just get used to it and that's just who you are. And it's no longer a point of like, you know, like extreme attention. It's like, it's just who you are. So it is a tough wager. I mean, we do want positive attention. And also, I think as men, we also kind of assume it's all for gaining attention from other people. And sometimes it's more complex than that. Sometimes it's also gaining the admiration of their peers. That's an also underappreciated point that I've been told about, that, you know, the way you dress or whatever, not just to, you know, it's not just mating season, but it's to assert your, you know, your uniqueness or your style or your, you know, indicators of self to others and yourself.
So my counterpoint to that, I think it's more simple. I think it's much more simple. I just think it's for attention. Because, and I'm going to harken back to the BBL thing, it's more for attention. It's more for, if I have this, then I'll have the floor. I'll walk into the room, I get the immediate attention. Not thinking about anything else, not thinking about the consequences, not what kind of attention that you're getting, whether it be positive or negative, it's just the attention. Lip injections, just for the attention. Not looking at years down the road. So, and I really believe it's not really that deep. Because why would you change your body? You know, other than the small percentage of health, small percentage of, unfortunately, you had to have a certain procedure or certain parts of you had to leave. You know, minus that particular thing, it's more of the vanity. It's more of the attention, and that's all it is. I mean, if you delve into, if you make a requirement for anybody to get any kind of surgery, any kind of vanity surgery, you have to have mandatory psychological evaluation. Then I think we will see less and less of that.
I could see that point as well. It could be attention, and I do think sometimes it is part of a cultural indicator. If we can extrapolate this to also include tattoos and piercings, there is a vanity part of it as well, but there's also a lot that goes into it as well. Kind of like the people have their own reasons for it. Sometimes some people get tattoos, they think it looks cool, or they like it themselves, or there's a meaning behind it, or something else. So sometimes it's, I don't know, more revealing if we ask a person, what motivated you to take, you know, do this surgery? Maybe we'll find some really interesting answers rather than just pin it on one thing.
Maybe. So you speak of tattoos, and I do know a few people here and there, and obviously the minority doesn't make the majority, but the few people that I have spoken to about tattoos, one of the main things that they say is it gives them attention. When you have a tattoo on your body that's nice and colorful and huge, the first thing the common person is going to see is that tattoo, and that's an instant conversation starter. Just like dyeing your hair, just like getting a piercing, it's an instant conversation starter. You know, it's it all boils down to attention, because why would you mark your body if you want to have a reminder of something, someone, a certain design? You would put that in, you would put that on your body for you. Hence, you know, hence people, you know, gentlemen wear sleeveless shirts to show off their tattoos. Or ladies wear shorts or a skirt to show off their tattoos on their legs or their back or on their face. They just do it for the most do it for the attention, because it's a good conversation starter and it makes people intrigued.
Well, there's also cultural significance as well. I mean, in other countries, it's your membership to organized crime. In, like, let's say island nations, like I think, like for example, the island of Tonga. It's cultural that you get a tattoo. And so there are, you know, there's more than one reason. Like, I have started thinking about getting my favorite Shakespeare tattooed on me again, because it just means so much to me, and this theme, like, running into life, that, I don't know, in a weird way, it almost makes sense to have that as a part of my body. I mean, there are stories to tattoos, and again, you know, there can be more than one reason.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Now, speaking of tribal tattoos, of course, once again, it's a small minority of the big picture, what we speak about. You know, obviously, tattoos, something like that, that's tribal, that's religious, that's, yeah, of course, that definitely means something, versus common Joe, common Mary, getting a Disney character tattooed on her body, because that just, once again, it sparks attention, it sparks conversation, because that's what the common person wants, is the attention and validation. Not really speaking about the minority. Body enhancements, tattoos, piercings, and My point to your counterpoint is it's mainly just attention, because this is one of the main reasons why we're all here. We want that attention and we want to be noticed. And now that a BBL is not popular, that is going to be the new trend for a while until something else comes out. I mean, if you really think about it, we started off with, and I know the order is going to be kind of wonky, I know we started off with piercings, ears piercing. The nose piercings and lip piercings, and we kind of went haywire with that. Then you have your tattoos, and then you have your enhancements, and then you have different enhancements in different parts of the body. And most do it for that attention. This is why, and I'm going to just throw a little joke and a little jab, when some women get enhancements for the attention to wear tight sweaters. Oh, you got implants. Well, yes, makes my shirt feel better. No, you want attention. This is why your cleavage is sticking out. This is why your nipples are knocking me in the face. No, and you get mad at me for staring. But I digress. Yeah, it's just mainly for the attention portion of it. And it's neither fish nor fowl. But I just, once again, I look ahead. And I look at, a young lady with 20 pounds of tuchus. And I wonder, what sparks that? And what do you want to get out of that kind of thing?
Well, I also kind of think it may be kind of a little bit of a stretch, but artwork. Artwork is it could be the purpose of artwork is to evoke emotion, which, like tattoos are like artwork. They can evoke emotion, they can expression, and yeah, it's attention, because that's part of it. And I think that's okay. And it may be a stretch to think of body enhancement, But is that also just expression? That, you know, we're just, we're limiting it to just gaining attention from the, you know, from the, whoever you want as a part of attraction. And so there could be more layered thought process to it all. And also just thinking down the road. So I think, yeah, I agree, like, you know, being natural is probably your best bet. But also, it could also be said that you're young once now, you might as well make the most of it, because who knows if you're going to make it down the road, or what even matters down the road.
With that logic, and I'm going to ask you a question after this, so with that logic, sure. You know, you do things because you're only young once, and because, you know, because you don't know when it's time to punch out, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. With the body enhancements and everything of the sort, why not go crazy? Why not tattoo your whole body, which people have done? You know, why not enhance everything, which, you know, people have done? And my question to you, Kevin, is would you bring home a young lady with a BBL to your family? You know, would you?
Maybe.
Know,
would maybe. I don't know. What else is going on with this lady?
Yeah, well, I mean, granted, she'd turn around and knock your drink off the table. But yes, I mean, would you, you know, would you want to have someone like that representing you?
I don't care. Because, like, you know, I've dated some girls with them, with some, you know, more subtle, you know, cosmetic surgery. But I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't care so much. Maybe it's just because, like, ultimately, it's not my body. And, like, you know, if it's not, you know, it's not quickly killing them, if it's not, like, causing obvious problems, then to me it's not that big of a deal. Because, like, you know, for example, I have the Keyblade reflex. I have very significant scars on me. And I don't hide it. I wear tank tops. I'll go shirtless at the beach, at the pool, whatever. And I know I get looks from it, even though I can't see how they're looking at me, but I know they are because my friends tell me. But, you know, then it's kind of, you know, goes that. It's like, can you accept somebody with scars like that too? And, you know, and truly there is no wrong answer to that.
Correct. It's just an opinion. It's just perception. Yeah. It's just, you know, how society may see it. And, you know, you might, but I won't. My own personal, I won't, because, you know, someone who's on my arm, I want them to represent me. And I don't want to have such, I'm trying to think of a good word. Okay, never mind, I'll just say it the way it is. I don't want a huge ass, you know, walking around my family, my grandmother, and stuff like that, because I have an image to uphold, and I want my legacy to be natural. But that's just me. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of making it about me, my other question to you on this particular topic before we go to something else is, do you think that we should have mandatory therapy before somebody goes to such extremes?
Well, I think people should just have mandatory therapy anyway. It's like, should have mental health checks, like physicals. I just really think that. I think, well, maybe I'm thinking too deep into it. I'm like, oh man, that'd be so expensive and it's hard to get mental health anyways. But I think that should be a very strong suggestion, you know, because, like, it is potentially, you know, dangerous and quite a bit of money, and they should, you know, they should be highly recommended. Like, okay, you know, mandatory, I don't know, because then it's kind of like again, you know, I try to think in a realistic manner in this, where, like, okay, well, then you're gonna have to go to jump through this, like, hoop, and then this, and then it becomes more of a barrier into, like, you know, cosmetic surgery is also, like, a luxury, like a pretty big luxury. And so many things are just unaffordable to, you know, middle and lower class people. And so I just think it's just highly recommended.
Well, once again, I can see both sides of the coin. It's your body. You can do whatever you want to your body. Chop off a limb, pierce it, mark it, do whatever you wish to do. That is your business, your finances, everything in between. So now we hop on the other side. There are people with body dysmorphia. There are people, who are not emotionally stable enough to really understand the repercussions of having surgery. So when you go in for a lip injection or a breast implant or an ab implant or a calf implant, I believe it should be a prerequisite that you sit down with a counselor to find out the what and the why before you have such an extreme thing done to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead. You had a thought. Go ahead.
Well, no, I can see how that's a highly recommended thing to do. It's just weird how sometimes I think about the unintended consequences of things when you put more red tape in front of processes and the things that accidentally come about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we have to look at both sides. We don't want the government getting involved in our personal business, but at some levels, they kind of have to protect us from ourselves. So you don't see your next door neighbor or granny walking around with a BBL. That's just me. But government getting involved in your life, government getting involved in marriage. I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, I think it's really crazy about that. Like, a comedian once said, like, oh, baby, we got it so good, we gotta get the government involved.
Oh, yes. I mean, an associate of mine and I had a conversation about marriage. And my point was, because I'm so controversial, that why get the government involved in marriage? What are the benefits of having the state getting involved in your marriage? Well, you...
Taxes.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. See, there we go. My point is you do not need a state paper professing your love to somebody. And their counterpoint, just like you said, tax breaks, medical, and things of that nature. And I'm like, I don't want anyone to get involved. I just want to either go to a church or, be married under God or be married whatever religion you believe in and keep the state out of it. Because obviously, when you get divorced, there's a lot of state and government involvement that will help you, that will hinder you, that will bankrupt you, that will do so many things to you for you to get out of that particular marriage, no matter what the reason is.
Sure. I mean, I think we're more in alignment in this one. Like, it is kind of strange. Like, why don't we all get this help rather than people who just go through a ceremony? And my crazy conspiracy theory about it is it's kind of increases legitimacy of a religious tradition. It's like, who cares? So you went, you had a party, and everybody dressed nice, and you paid a whole bunch of money, and now what? It just seems strange to me, like, if it really is like a commitment to each other, and isn't that, it should be strictly a spiritual or cultural thing. Why make it a government thing? I don't see the logic either.
Yes, and I've had it explained to me multiple different times, and I understand. I'm not the smartest peanut in the turd, but I do not get why the state and local laws have to be involved. Obviously, yes, the tax breaks and blah, 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 but if you, and it's going to sound really corny, Kevin, if we love each other and we're there for one another, nothing else should matter. Okay. So let's go get married under something, someone, some being, and just be done with it. Well, no, we're going to sign a paper. Why?
Right.
Why? Why am I signing a paper again? Well, to be married. No, I don't need a paper. We can just do it ourselves and live the rest of our lives in bliss like we originally want to do.
And it may be specious reasoning, but we should also look at the history of marriage. That marriage for love and companionship is a new concept, relatively speaking, whereas it was a business transaction. You know, what about dowries and just continue your bloodline and your namesake and like basically making a business deal? It, you know, like maybe this is a natural progression that, you know, it was strictly a business transaction into kind of just, I don't know, a legal partnership. And I think it's completely silly because, you know, it is treating people as commodities. And again, I think we're pretty much aligned with this one. It's like, it seems completely crazy to do that.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. I know people in the comment sections going, no, you know, no prenup or anything. No, people, we're not going to talk about, you know, the little nuances that comes along with marriage. No, we're not going to do that because this will be a 5-hour show. no, I just certain things like that, whether it be cosmetic surgery or state-involved marriage, I believe that sitting down with a therapist and having that conversation definitely helps, because there's so many things that are involved in it. And I know you and I... go ahead. You had a thought?
Therefore, should couples have counseling before they get married?
150,000%. That's not real, but yes, 100%. And
yes,
I will let you go first, Kevin. By all means.
No, man, because that just made me thought like this is a life altering decision that can be made, potentially ruinous as well. So therefore,
and I'm gonna make a statement, and then I will go into why I agree with that, because, and for my listeners out there. I love women, fear not, but marriage by state and government benefits the women more. And I'm not going to go into the logistics of it. Look it up. It definitely benefits the female more. Again, I'm not upset. I'm not against it. It's neither fish nor fowl. It's reality. That's just what it is. So going back to what Kevin and I agreed upon is, yes, therapy is mandatory for marriage, because yes, you know your partner. Yes, you love your partner. Yes, you guys know each other's likes, dislikes, anything that makes you tingle. But you need a third party. You know, I mean, someone with a psychology degree to sit down with you and say, "Hey, look, is this what you really want? Explain why. Get into the gritty detail, the ugliness, the nastiness side of it." And once you quote-unquote pass, get your certificate saying that you two are sane enough to make this work for the rest of your life, then by all means, go crazy. Have the marriage. Plan out the party. Be the bridezillas and everything that comes along with it. So, Kevin, your turn, sir.
Yeah. If you're going to make marriage a legal thing, you might as well add a very important safeguard, because it also kind of... Marriage adds a whole different layer of things to it all, and now there's like, you know, there's rights and responsibilities now, and are you prepared to handle that? Are you prepared to handle what's going, like, you know, what it's like to be married? You know, are you equipped to deal with the difficulties? Are there any unresolved issues? I think it'd be quite interesting, and may possibly lead people to a clearer thought pattern when things that are not laid out to them are laid out to them. It's kind of like people should have marriage counseling when things are good, not when things are bad.
Yes, and that is true. Because it's so interesting that whenever someone's ready, male or female, they can say, "I want a divorce." And I believe if you even go through that divorce, yes, there's mediation, but I believe that you have to sit down and have that conversation again with the therapist to find out, you know, the what, the when, the why, and the how. Because to me, in my humble opinion of a man who's never been married, so I'm talking out of my ass, I only want to be married one time. In theory, that would be tremendous. to be married just once, but I understand how reality works, and it may be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. But I believe if we had these safeguards in place in the beginning, that would definitely weed out the people who should and who shouldn't be married.
That could be interesting too for the ramifications. Like, if things didn't work out, they could point back to like the beginning, you know, say that it was mandatory counseling, and be like, oh, I see. And made the divorce proceedings more, I guess, clear cut. Be like, hey, they told you so.
You know, it's the, why are you getting a divorce? Oh, I'm not happy anymore. Well, you sat through the course. You passed the course. You got certified. We quizzed you on this person you wanted to be with, you know, stuff like that. And it should, and so do you, and so going on the pattern of this, do you think it should be more difficult or more easy to get divorced? And also question B to that is, do you think it should be just a, once again, talking out of my ass because I've never been married, do you think it should just be a, you go your way, I go my way?
It's tougher to answer this one as a person that kind of like sees the craziness, well, of marriage as an institution. Ideally, people would just be like, we just don't belong together anymore and do it. Because it just seems that, you know, not a lot of marriages that end up in good terms. There's like a lot of business, a lot of like, you know, spite, and possibly just an endless loop of spite and hurting the other person as much as possible financially. It may be, unfortunately, a part of it. And yeah. And there could be legitimate things such as, like, for example, if one person, you know, made all the money and one other person did not, well, then that complicates things. Or like, you know, debts were taken out, and yeah, like one was taken out more in one person's name, or the other person, you know, had more control of the money. I just think it would be nice if people would just separate amicably, but unfortunately, due to how life tends to get complicated, I see the litigation as unnecessary pain, something that kind of is bound to be needed.
This is why I believe, and I could be wrong, when I get married, we shall see. I believe that the state and the government should not get involved. If you're mm-hmm. unhappy, if you're unhappy and you've done your due diligence to make everything work, then yes, you should go your separate ways. There should be something in place to where you handle the house, or you handle the kids, or you handle the shared bank account, something like that. But in the grand scheme of things, it should be, okay, it didn't work for whatever reason, you go your way, I go my way. Now, of course, reality is, as a motherfucker, so things will happen, and so you have to go through all the red tape. But going back, I definitely think therapy should be a must.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, marriage is tricky.
And let me ask you one question before we jump on to the original topic I wanted to talk about. And this one might be a little bit spicy. But what is the benefit? And I'm asking you, because you know you're a married man. What is the benefit of being married versus just being in a regular relationship? Isn't it just the state and government involved? I mean, would it be easier to forego the state and government marriage part and just be together? I mean, granted, minusing the Bible, living in sin and stuff like that, no matter what you believe in, wouldn't it be just easier mentally, financially, just to be together and just play house?
Yeah. Again, well, you know, I've never been married, but unfortunately it would be for the logistical benefits of the tax breaks and you know, other things that you can get as being a married couple. Possibly it could be a psychological thing where it's like you have this assurance. It's like the commitment, but it's kind of like you're willing to put some real investment into it and not just be all words. It's like you signed a legally binding contract. It's like now you're really committed. You're super duper, you know. You signed a piece of paper about it. So maybe it's that. It could be cultural too, because, like, you know, I would dare say I haven't run into any culture where it's like, why would you get married? You know, it's like a status thing as well. When we go back to vanity, it's like, oh, haha, I did it. You know, it's almost like a rite of passage into like adulthood in a way for some people. Yeah. But again, as we see in many cases, you know, these like legally binding contracts don't keep people faithful. They don't keep people interested.
Yeah, that is true. Because yeah, because thinking about it, and once again, haters come for me. You think that you have that contract that you sign between yourself and your spouse for forever. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You sign a contract for a car, Kevin. You sign a contract for going to college. You sign a contract for this, 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 and this. But why would quote unquote love and commitment need a contract? Shouldn't it be between just, you know, yourself and your partner? Now, once again, I'm just thinking aloud. I know when my marriage day happens, I'm going to sign the paperwork and spend the money and all that stuff like that to make my spouse happy. But when you step back and you look at the big picture, you ask these questions to yourself of, yes, this is something I want, but isn't there a much more logical way to do this?
Possibly. I mean, maybe people just do it as a ceremony where, like, they consciously forgo the legal aspect. And they find their way around it. Or just find a new religion. Make your own where, you know, you circumvent all this craziness. Maybe that's the answer.
Hey, make up our own religion. You know, you want to marry me? I want to marry you. Okay, let's slaughter a pig and we're good. So yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Well, but back to my original topic we were going to talk about is, I guess it all kind of ties in together. About emotions that go along with this. And people are like, how can you tie that into emotion? Yes, yes, everything we do, everything revolves around emotion. And I read a quote, Kevin, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. I read a quote that obviously, of course, everything is sexist, of course. Females are more emotional, as they should. It's biology. And men are emotional too. But as men, we have to keep our emotions in check. And what I mean by that is if we cannot control our emotions as men, one of two things are going to happen. Either A, we'll wind up in jail, or B, we'll be dead. And so to back that claim up, Kevin, you see that if someone, you know, if a man gets in, if a man loses his temper, violence is the number one thing if a man loses his temper. And it could be fighting another man, or it can be frustrations in a relationship or frustrations at a job. It never turns out well if a man cannot control his emotions. And also, if he doesn't keep them in check, like I said, if you really think about it, you have fights, you lose your job, you get arrested, you fight the wrong person, you get shot, you know? Mm. Do you believe that the male species should not hold in their anger, but look for more effective ways to control their emotions?
Well, I think the fact that men resort to violence and these destructive and self-destructive habits speak to the generational failing of it all. That we are not allowed to feel the full spectrum of emotion, and we're not properly equipped to deal with them. I think it's a systemic problem, and it goes down to the root of culture and how a lot of segments of culture still are not evolving. I mean, case in point, I've been reading a biography about a certain very famous person and how they were created to be such a complete self-absorbed narcissist and very dangerous one at that, because they're raised in such a toxic environment and that their antisocial behavior was never truly addressed well, and they just were never put in check, never really forced to be accountable for, and never equipped to deal with that. And I think it's weird that when we think of control of emotion, the way we speak about things matters. And I don't think control is the right word. I think manage or reconcile is better, because you have to have a relationship with your emotions rather than try to master them. It's like trying to master the wind, because emotion is so fickle and so sometimes so unpredictable and complex. And to be able to, you know, manage it and understand it is better than trying to, like, think of it in terms of domination.
Now, with that, and once again, this is just reality speaking, it's more accepted. You know, if a female has emotion breakdown or yells, screams, hits, stuff like that, that's just reality. That's just the way it is. But the opposite sex, a man can't do that, because it's frowned upon heavily. Because as being providers, protectors, you know, protectors of family and, you know, wives and children, we have to control, keep our emotions in check, because we're looked upon a little bit higher than the female species, because, you know, we are the creators, we are the builders, stuff of that nature. So we have to have a handle on this. This is why anger management programs exist. This is why penitentiaries exist, because people who can't control their anger, we've learned at a very young age to do creative things with our anger. If we're angry, we go somewhere, create something, destroy something, work out. You know, we can't act out like the opposite sex, because once again, Kevin, it's very, very heavily frowned upon. So we as men must control our emotions, even as far as crying. You know, it's heavily frowned upon to cry as a man, unless we cry on other men, because the opposite sex loses respect when that happens. So to get away from the crying portion of it, but just the anger portion of it, you would rather work next to a professional man that has control of his emotions, rather freaking out if a loose bolt falls out of his hand, or if he stubs his toe, or the wrench falls down. You'd rather be around someone calm, someone in control, versus someone who lashes out, you know, at the very littlest of things.
I really disagree, because it is, well, this thinking comes from a framework of very rigid gender role expectations. Women were once institutionalized for hysteria and, you know, for acting out. And there's also the boys will be boys mentality to excuse incredibly aggressive antisocial behavior, because for so long people didn't question the validity of gender roles, or even how it changed people kind of forget how, you know, in the ancient world, being not straight was the norm, and being 100% straight was weird. Or how, like, you know, dress, you know, people, the way they dress or the colors they wear changed over time. And it, again, I think it's manageable. And I think for the matter, and you know, which part of the spectrum of gender that you are on, I think undergoing the process of having a relationship with your emotions is important. My good friends have seen me cry. I've wanted to cry, and I can't because I won't let myself, because parts of me are still stuck within the cage of masculinity to my own detriment. Like, masculinity is easy to lose and hard to gain, and I think that's wrong. I think having these arbitrary, detrimental barriers upon us because of cultural expectations and gender roles is unhealthy. Just like a woman could be the breadwinner, she could be the head of the household, she can do these things because we've seen throughout many examples, through single mothers, or where the woman is the head of the household, things grow, they just work out just fine. Remember the, you know, one of our recent presidents was, you know, the son of a single mother. And so I think if once we stop being so rigid about our thinking, we can really heal from it and move to a better model of things. I mean, I just talked to my therapist today, and I know I need a therapy, and that's been a valuable part of my life. She told me, like, her new client was a man that said, I can't talk about my feelings. And she's like, well, then why are you here? And if you hold on to these restraining ideas, if you let fear of what's on the other side of emotion get in your way, how are you gonna ever progress?
And part of that I agree with. My counterpoint to that is, yes, it's a society thing. It's how society sees it. It's the harsh, cold reality of we can't talk about our feelings because we as men suffer in silence. And this isn't a pity party, my dear listeners. Not a pity party at all. It's just reality. That's all it is. Because it's extremely rare to see a man cry in front of you. Of course he's going to cry on his wedding day. Of course he's going to cry when his child is born. You know, of course he's going to cry out of happiness. Of course. That's the minority. I'm talking about the majority of sitting down, having conversations about your emotions. It is very, very, it's very frowned upon, Kevin. Because
it doesn't have to be.
Well, of course it doesn't have to be. It shouldn't be. But once again, the harsh reality is men don't talk about any emotions. If they do, they talk to other men about it. Because obviously men understand what men go through, women understand what women go through. That's beside the point. But when it comes to showing your emotions to the opposite sex, Kevin, unfortunately, it's very heavily frowned upon. Now, I wish that that can change, but the harsh reality is that it's heavily, heavily frowned upon. And you lose respect by showing emotion to the opposite sex. As silly as it sounds, if you really, really think about it and you really, you know, look it up and read about it, it's actually true. Sad as it is, it's really, really true.
Then I shall be the pariah, because I open my heart to my female friends often. I did that last night. I shall defy the world. Because what will this world's approval give me when inside my heart I can never be free? And it is, I think these ideas are self-imposed. They're a limit that it's a story we put in our own head and we reinforce and reinforce and reinforce. And I found such a special intimacy by opening my heart and being vulnerable to the women in my life. And if other men can point their fingers at me and some tell me I'm weak, but I'm the one at the end of the day that knows that I've got people that I can access, and they won't have that because they won't let themselves have that.
And I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm just going based upon the harsh reality of being a man. And I'll reiterate once again, this isn't a pity party. This is no woe is us because we're men. It's just reality. It's just the way it is. Certain things that are frowned upon with men are frowned upon with women, and so on and so on and so on. So for you to have that portion of you, Kevin, is tremendous. It is absolutely tremendous, and I will never ever slam you for it. But you fall into the minority again, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, you cry in front of me, I'll hug you tight. If you get a BBL, Kevin, I'll still love you, so it's okay.
I got some news for you.
Pictures will be coming out soon, so yes.
Join the Patreon for pictures.
So, as this show comes to a close, do you have any rants for us, Kevin?
Sure. Microsoft, why are you like that? Why do you like to ruin things? Why must you enjoy screwing things up? I updated my computer, and it's been a hell of a time getting apps to open and not having my browsers crash. And, like, sometimes today I was like, maybe I'm the foolish one for updating so quickly, and I should have learned my lesson to not do that. I've ranted in the past about how, like, Apple will ruin my settings by updating, and it just happens over and over again. I mean, almost every day I get mad at Microsoft Office for how poorly laid out it is and how just so cluttered it is. I just had to wait for a better update, I guess. But yeah, Microsoft, stop being such a jerk.
See, tremendous rant, because it all happens to us all the time with these freaking updates. Mm-hmm. Love it to death. My rant is, I had a rant earlier and I forgot what it was, because we had such quite a deep show, I forgot what my rant was. But, no, something interesting. I spoke to a dear friend of mine last week, and it's been a very long time since I spoke with her, a couple of months, and it was a very bizarre conversation. It was mainly, you know, just a basic, hey, how are you doing? How's life treating you? And she sprung something on me, and she's like, you know, I had a conversation with a group of friends I haven't spoken to in a very, very long time. And I told all of them to go fuck themselves. And I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? And she goes, well, I'm tired of being their friend. And I went to interject. She goes, well, no, hear me out. I'm their friend, but they're not mine. And I'm like, huh. And she proceeded to tell me, you know, the things that she's been through. Obviously, I'm not going to broadcast. That's her personal business. But all the things that she's went through and all the times that she's been there for them, but they have not reciprocated. And obviously, we understand that life happens. People have lives, obligations, families, personal things. Of course, that's one of the main things about just life in general. As we get older, our plate becomes heavier. But there is one constant. You have a friend that you can not speak to for a month, even a couple of years, and come back and pick up where he left off at. But there's a difference. You know, if a friend is always there for you and you're not there for them, or you have a conversation, you make the conversation about you, not really caring about what the other person's going through or even has to say, that's not a friend. You're their friend, but they're not yours. So in saying that, she did a group text or a group chat, and told all of them at once to go fuck yourselves. And I just found that just cathartic, you know? Yeah, you know, I'm like, wow. It's not that, oh my God, you go girl, you rock, you know? No. It's it's more of a cleansing kind of thing. Because, say for example, you look through your phone and you have all these contacts on your phone and all these people that you really don't talk to sometimes. Are you going to write them off? No, absolutely not. But if you see yourself constantly giving and giving and giving and getting nothing in return, it's really to the point of being used. And we as human beings, we really don't want to be used. We want to be appreciated. We want to be admired. We want to be looked at. We want to be acknowledged, BBLs. And we just, you know, want to have that overall feeling of accomplishment and acknowledgement. And if you're not, if it's not getting reciprocated to you, why you, not a waste of time, but what are you doing kind of thing. So for her to take such a humongous step like that, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, I kind of respect that. And I stopped in mid-conversation because I'm me, I'm a smartass. And I'm like, wait a second, I wouldn't in that group text. You know, I wouldn't in that group chat. Should I be offended? You know, you didn't tell me to go fuck myself. She goes, no, you passed. I'm like, okay, good. Yes, I'm back in. No, and that's my rant. I really thought about doing that. But I don't have to because my circle is so small. And people I haven't spoke to in many years, and I even use you as an example, Kevin. You and I haven't spoke in, Christ, how many years? It's over a decade.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we picked up right where we left off at, other than calling each other fruit booty and talking about wrestling. I'm just grateful that my circle is so small, and I understand how their life works and I understand how my life works. And would you ever see yourself doing something like that?
No, because I don't like unnecessary confrontation. It doesn't feel good. And so, honestly, I wouldn't. But I think your friend did something very brave.
Yes, yes, that is true. And see, I like having these conversations with you. We talked about off air. Your viewpoints on things versus my viewpoints on things, sometimes, you know, we don't agree on the same thing, and that's tremendous. That's great. We can have this open dialogue and these friendly debates, to where, like we said in the last podcast, you know, we're not going to attack each other personally because we don't agree on a certain thing.
Yeah, I got a great BBL.
I promise I'll look you in the eye, Kevin. We hang out, I'll look you in the eye. I'm like,
yeah, eyes up here.
I'm like, oops, you dropped something. Okay, there we go. But yes, that's more or less my rant, question mark. But yes, this show has been tremendous. Thank you, everyone, for listening and downloading and continue to support the experience. And before we go, do you have any final sentences for us, Kevin, before we sign off?
Yeah. Be intentional with your words, but know that it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to know that how you feel, how you think will change. And when you speak with, you know, to the best of yourself, I think you'll be just fine. You know, learn to forgive what you said in the past and hope that you know yourself better and, you know, be able to take more responsibility for your words.
I like that. Oh, go ahead, please. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I was just like, asterisk, mental note to myself.
Mine is be accountable. Do not be afraid of accountability. Accountability hurts, but it's necessary in your growth as a human being. Don't be afraid to apologize. Don't be afraid to continue to evolve. Don't be afraid to confront things that bother you as a human being. And on the other end of the spectrum, don't be afraid to be alone. Don't be afraid to sit at the table by yourself if you're comfortable eating alone. It's great to have people in life, but you don't need people in life, especially if they're not on your page. It's wonderful to help people. It's great to receive help, but do not bleed yourself dry for someone who's not going to give you a Band-Aid. So that's my advice to everyone. And this has been another episode of the Walker AC Experience. Please be sure, once again, to like, subscribe, to share walkerac76.podbean.com, walkeracexperience.com, walkeracexperience.com/mobile, cafepress.com/WACE. This has been a Walker AC Experience. I have been Adrian. He has been Kevin. You've been our friends, our family, our loved ones, people who love us, people who hate us, but you're still going to listen. And we solve world problems, Kevin. I mean, we're not heroes, Kevin. We're legends. Have a good night, everyone.